legal fees representing Disney on various matters. Gary Wilson, Ray Watson, and Card Walker, now 80 years old, were all former Disney officers, although to their credit, Wilson and Watson at least occasionally asked questions, such as Watson's request for information about Eisner's successor. Even normally passive institutional investors were aroused by the appearance of conflicts on the Disney board. The Council of Institutional Investors urged shareholders to withhold approval of Eisner's new contract and for the five directors up for re-election at Disney's annual meeting in February, Bowers, Roy Disney, Lozano, Mitchell, and Wilson. Eisner was dismissive of the critics, even contemptuous. He referred to the Wisconsin pension whatever, saying that if the California Public Employees Retirement System, CalPERS, and the Wisconsin State Board of Investments didn't like the way he managed Disney, he'd personally buy back their shares, and added, "I don't have any great desire to have an old boy crony network of CEOs that just share the same old war stories. Most CEOs don't understand the entertainment business. They don't understand our problems. If they have so much time to spend on our company, what are they doing at their company? I don't see that as an asset. I'd rather have my kindergarten school teacher who taught my kids telling me about our products." Eisner could afford to be defiant. With the support of the Basses and Roy, and with his own large stake, corporate governance advocates seemed a paper threat. In the end, they mustered just 12% of the votes to withhold approval of directors up for re-election, and only 11% voted against Eisner's contract. Later that year, Eisner exercised Disney stock options, then worth $565 million before taxes, once again earning the title of America's highest-paid executive. When Los Angeles philanthropist Caroline Amundson announced she was stepping down from the Disney board, Eisner discussed the vacancy with his wife, and then proposed that Amundson be replaced by Andrea Van de Kamp, another influential figure in Los Angeles social and charitable circles. It was a typically impulsive Eisner personnel decision. He'd been impressed earlier that year when Van de Kamp had called on him to raise money for the troubled Walt Disney Concert Hall project, which had been funded by a $50 million bequest from Lillian Disney in 1987 to honor Walt's love of music. Van de Kamp was the new chairperson of the Los Angeles Music Center, which was building the Frank Gehry-designed concert hall, and was head of the West Coast office of Sotheby's, the prominent art auction house. Vivacious, energetic, and attractive, with shrewd instincts for the role of power and money in Los Angeles society, Van de Kamp had come to her concert hall position with an impressive resume and an array of influential contacts developed over years of charitable endeavors and marriage to a prominent Los Angeles attorney, John Van de Kamp, former Los Angeles district attorney and two-term California attorney general. She knew she had a crisis on her hands when, in her absence, her fellow board members of the Los Angeles Music Center elected her chairperson in 1996. The Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, home to the Los Angeles Philharmonic, had never been designed as a concert hall. The downtown music center was in debt, losing money and losing its aging audience. But progress on the Walt Disney Concert Hall had ground to a halt. All but 31.